Blog Talk Radio.
Unlikely Leaders, Chapter 1, God's Purpose for His Church. The Church is God's appointed agency to save lost men and women. Its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. Through the Church, eventually everyone, including even the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, will see the final and full display of God's love. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. In the Scriptures, there are many wonderful promises about the Church. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, Go forth, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, chapter 49, verses 8, 9, and 15. The Church is God's fortress, His city of refuge, which He holds in a world in revolt. Any betrayal of the Church is treason against Him, who has bought mankind with the blood of His only Son. From the beginning, the Church has been made up of faithful people. In every age, the Lord's watchmen have faithfully given His message to their own generation. God has sent out His angels to minister to His church, and the gates of hell have not been able to prevail against his people. Not one opposing force has risen to counteract his work that God did not see ahead of time. He has not left his church forsaken, but has outlined in prophecy what would happen. All his plans will be fulfilled. God inspires and guards truth, and it will triumph over all opposition. Feeble and defective as they may appear, the church is the one object that God regards above all others. It is the theater of his grace, in which he delights to reveal his power to transform hearts. Earthly kingdoms rule by physical power, but Christ banishes every instrument of force in his kingdom. His rule is to uplift humanity and make it more noble. God has filled his church with various gifts and has given it the Holy Spirit. From the beginning, God has worked through his people to bring blessing to the world. God made Joseph a fountain of life to the ancient Egyptian nation. Through him, God preserved that whole people. Through Daniel, God saved the life of all the wise men of Babylon. These deliverances illustrate the spiritual blessings offered to the world through the God whom Joseph and Daniel worshipped. Everyone who will reveal Christ's love to the world is a worker with God for blessing humanity. God desired Israel to be like wells of salvation in the world. The nations of the world had lost the knowledge of God. They had once known him, but because they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, their foolish hearts were darkened. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Yet God did not blot them out. He decided to give them the opportunity to become acquainted with him through his chosen people. Through the sacrificial service, Christ was to be lifted up, and all who would look to him would live. The whole system of types and symbols was a condensed prophecy of the gospel. But the people of Israel forgot God and failed to fulfill their holy mission. They clung to all their advantages for their own glorification. They shut themselves away from the world in order to escape temptation. They robbed God of service, and they robbed other people of a holy example. Priests and rulers became satisfied with a legal religion. They thought their own righteousness was more than enough. They did not accept the good will of God as something apart from themselves, but connected it with their own merit because of their good works. The faith that works by love could find no place in the religion of the Pharisees. God declared about Israel, "I had planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine?" Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression; for righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 4. The Savior turned from the Jewish leaders to entrust others with the privileges they had abused and the work they had scorned. God's glory must be revealed. His kingdom must be established. The disciples were called to do the work that the Jewish leaders had failed to do.
Amen, amen. Yes, it's done planned. Good evening, my sisters and brothers. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I am grateful to be on this prayer line today and to be fellowship with my brothers and sisters, and it is such a blessing. You know, yesterday, Sabbath, I'm telling you, we had such a wonderful day at church and fellowship with sisters and brothers at mealtime. I'm telling you, it just was beautiful. And the message that was brought to us. And I just want to thank God for it. And, you know, it encouraged us to accept God's word and change. And, you know, although we're going through struggles, but you know what? We got to stay focused and got to press forward as we continue in the Word of God. So I just want to praise God once again tonight for being on this prayer line and brothers and sisters coming together to give praise, to thank God for his blessings, his goodness, his blessing to wake us up, to be here in this world today. All these blessings, you know, brothers and sisters, we are just grateful. And the message that the gentleman brought yesterday, sisters and brothers, it pricked my heart. And what he said yesterday, let me see, could I get the scriptures? Because I wrote the scriptures down, and he was just telling us, let me find my little, that's what I was getting with my little sheet of paper that I wrote all my scriptures on. Oh, yes, here it is. We had quite a few scriptures. Hold on, let me just, I'm not going to give all these scriptures. Okay. Jesus went for the great multitude and moved with compassion. I'm going to do more. He started off with 2 Corinthians 5:19, being an ambassador for Christ and be ye reconciliate to God. But I want to read Matthew chapter 14. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Father, the throne of grace, knowing that we have our Father and our Savior, that we can petition the throne and ask him for his loving and mercy to forgive us from our sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your kindness, protecting us and keeping us, Father. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. So, Heavenly Father, yes, we are sinners, saved by your grace. Continue to come to you, Father, even though we may fall, but we get up, because we know we have an advocate, our Savior Jesus Christ, that we can go to and ask for forgiveness. Thank you, Father, for your loving Son that you gave to this world. Thank you, Father, for your love. And you said you have agape love. So, Lord, what more? And no love can feel that agape. The Bible said that's the love of love, love of all. So we thank you for your agape love, Lord, in which, Lord, here on earth, we are just praying for one another and fellowshipping with one another and all this, Lord. And we asking that you create this love in us, that we can have such great love for one another. So now, Lord, and it showed with the family that we fellowship. Brothers and sisters came from different parts of Tennessee, Georgia, different place, North Carolina, and I'm from Louisiana, and then we went to Alexandria. So all of us came together yesterday, Lord, for the Day of Atonement, and we had a beautiful worship. So we thank you right now. And I want to share with my brothers and sisters Matthew chapter 14. So, Lord, bless your word. And, Father, we ask that you would allow your holy angels, your holy sin, pour out the Spirit upon us so we can receive a blessing tonight and help us to hear and understand the word. And we also just want to say thank you for everything, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 14. So let us go there. It's chapter 14 and verse 14. And it says, and when Jesus went forth and saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. So as we did a study in all this, many scriptures here I have. One is 1 Corinthians 3:9, labor together with God. 2 Peter 2, I just put part of the scripture on here one of the main focus. 2 Peter 2:1, according as his divine power, and 2 and 4, that's 2 Peter 2, that's 1 and verse 2 and 4, partakers of the divine nature, having stopped asking, and he said, stop asking God to help us and not to help. Okay, our script scratched it, so I don't need to read it. So let me just try to say what the guy said. He said, stop asking God, always going to God to help us or help our children. He said, but when you go to God, ask God to help you. And then he said, you just be that example for our children. And, you know, we always, yes, we can't stop asking God we can't stop going, taking our children to prayer, in prayer. He said, yes, pray for them. Pray for them and God will answer. But he say we need to be more of the example. And the main thing he was saying, quit trying to change them and let your light. And when they see us doing all we supposed to do in Christ, and just leave them alone about their life, because he said, and I was thinking on that, the more we see that we're trying to ask him, you're coming to Christ, you're going to allow the Lord to help you or try to give him scriptures. He was talking how we push them away. He said, but just love them and talk to them about love. Don't talk to them about the Bible, because that aggravates. You know how the devil is, brothers and sisters. Want to agitate them because they don't want to receive it right now. But he said, let that light you have, and Christ's going to let it show. Christ's going to work it in them. I hope I'm saying it right. But as he was saying, how we just be that good example and show them love, spend much time. And I liked something what he said. He said, tell them you love them. Tell them, just talk to them about love and family and shit. And he said, because you know what? He said something like this. I'm paraphrasing how he said. He said that, you know, he said, because, you know, he didn't tell the person, but he was saying to himself, he said, because this life on this earth may be the only time that I may see you last, because we don't know if we're going to see them in heaven. So spend much time with them and spend much love, showing them much love, because we don't know if they're going to be saved. We don't know if we're going to be saved. They could be there and we're not. It's, nobody knows. So I just was saying, you know, a lot of things make sense. So we just got to keep praying for our children and showing that light to them. And as we pray and God see, and you know what he says, sisters and brothers? He said, when God see your faithfulness, your strength, everything about you, he said, God can strengthen that child, help that child, because you doing and not preaching to them. And you know what I thought about? Think about this. You remember the prodigal son? His father did not preach to him anything. His father didn't tell him, son, you know the Lord, or you know the Lord don't want you to do this. He asked the father for his money. The father gave it all to him. He gave it to him, and he let him go. And I say, you know, Lord, it's something that when someone's speaking and they, certain things that the Lord allowed to drop on your ear, it's like seeing a little bell go off. So I say, well, thank you, Lord. I say, because, you know, it's almost get to where we get worried. So we got to stop worrying. And I know Brother Rick, myself, Sister Tamika, and there's many others, but we got the children that's out there and that's trying to, we're trying to reach. But you know what he was saying? We can reach him better by just talking how much we love him and doing whatever we can. Don't mention no word of God to him, because you know what? He said that pushed him further away. And you know what I wanted to say, brothers and sisters? I wanted to say, as I was trying to tell children, okay, that one is not good for you. That girl is not good for you. And you know what? When you tell them that girl is not good for them, that's not the girl for you. And what do? That's the girl they want. And you know what's a good example? What did Samson? Was it Samson? Samson and his mother, his mother and his father tried to get him to marry one of their family members, or one of their in their country, in their Nazarene, and he said, "No, I want Delilah. I want that Philistine woman." So we got to think like those examples we hear. So I just wanted to bring that point in. If it's not right, someone can help me, because, you know, everything I don't, you know, take in, like I can't remember every word he said, but pretty much I try to sum it up. Amen. So I want to thank you, sisters and brothers, for coming on and sharing. And you can give your input, because it's so much that we as parents growing older and seeing our children, the one we brought into the world, born as God gave them to us, now we see them having children, but yet we see some problems there that they are struggling, you know, and that's the enemy. He's bringing this struggle on our children to make us worry. But thanks be to God. He is the God that we should put all our trust in. Amen. So we're going to go and begin to open the line for my brothers and sisters. Press one and share, because I want to make sure I have this right, because, you know, you all help me out also. Amen. When you all give, share, and comment on these things. Amen. I'm opening the line for 27277. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. God bless you, and I'm so happy to be on the line. This is Sister Taimiko from Pennsylvania, but originally I'm from Brooklyn, New York. So I'm just happy to hear your voice, and I heard the message that was playing earlier, so I took down some of the Bible scriptures that was given. And then I heard what you was talking about as well. Yes, you are so correct, my sister, that, I mean, now it wouldn't be a good time to tell them, you know, about the Bible, and they should, you know, get baptized and everything. It's best to talk to them, you know, about different things. Like, you can have a conversation about the news, what's going on in the world, how you see so much killing and, you know, shooting and stabbings and all of the hurricanes that have been taking place in Puerto Rico and different areas. But, you know, in time, the Lord will work out their salvation. Mm-hmm. So we're waiting on his perfect timing. But we can just continue to tell them how much we love them, that we are praying for them, you know, let them know that they're loved, the whole family is praying for them, that we're proud of them, and that we see that they're doing the best that they can, you know, tell them good, encouraging words to lift them up and upbuild them. So that's the best thing to do at this time. And I just wanted to share a song and a Bible verse, if I may. But I definitely had a beautiful Sabbath, and I thank God for bringing me through another week. I give him all praise and honor and glory, because he is so worthy to be praised. I thank him for waking us all up this morning and giving us his grace and mercy, because without God, we are nothing, sister. We can do nothing. He is the vine, and we are the branches. So I do have a song I'd like to sing, my sister. Amen. And
amen.
It's taken from Luke. Amen. It's taken from Luke chapter 16, verse 16. It says here, the law and the prophets were until John, since the time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. So that's what it's saying in Luke chapter 16, verse 16. And then I have a song that I would like to sing. Amen. It's okay. Firm and determined in this time of the end. Prepared our God's service, the good news to defend. The devil has fallen oppressed. Sorry. I'll start again. Firm and determined in this time of the end. Prepared our God's service, the good news to defend. The devil has fallen and broken. With Jehovah, this hatred stand against him. Stand forward, you witnesses, ever strong of heart. Rejoice that in God's work you too may have a part. Go tell far and wide, God's new order is near. And along his rich blessings will be here. Servants of Jah, do not seek a life of ease. The world and its rulers, they do not try to please. Unspotted at all times remaining, our integrity we will keep maintaining. Stand forward, you witnesses, ever strong of heart. Rejoice that in God's word you too may have a part. Go tell far and wide, God's new order is near, and that soon his rich blessings will be here. God and his kingdom are marked and pushed aside. His great name is slandered, his holy name denied. Let's share in his sanctification and declare it to every tribe and nation. Stand forward, you witnesses, ever strong of heart. Rejoice that in God's word you too may have a part. Go tell far and wide, God's new order is near, and along his rich blessings will be here.
Amen. Praise the Lord, my sister. I just have one scripture I'd like to read before I go. Taken in Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and his sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercies is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola, and please keep all of us in prayer. I lift up all my precious brothers and sisters on this prayer line, and everyone be blessed. And I'm asking for a prayer request as well for my family, to lift up my children, my grandchildren, and my mom, Dorothy, as well, and as well as your family, too, Sister Leola. God bless you all. I love you, and God bless you. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. And I just want to thank you, Sister Tamiko, for singing that song and also for sharing the scripture with us, because we know that these things that we do with one another will last. And I want to show you, as I was speaking about how he told us we are ambassadors for Christ and we are being reconciled to God, I didn't leave out, but I had two other scriptures I wanted to share that were so important. And when he said how we should, because he was talking on this subject, he said, the Bible says God have other sheep. I have. Which are not of this fold. So he was saying our loved ones that's not in Adventist. He told the Adventist people, he said, stop, you know, think and stop saying people, I forget what he said exactly, but he said, stop saying certain things to people. oh, you eat meat or and certain things. Like Daddy was saying, Adventists don't say. He said because some things, you know, he was quoting, and these are very spiritual and people that really love the Lord because they all like wear their head things over their head. They're very humble people, you know. But he's trying to teach us not to be judgmental. And then he gave another scripture, but I want to read this one. And it's Matthew 9 and verse 10 through 13. And it says, and it came to pass that Jesus sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eat your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician. He said, but they that are sick, he said, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. So when he read this scripture, sisters and brothers, I said, oh, that, you know, I read this and it's deep. I did not really contemplate on this scripture. And he said, go and see what it meaneth. He said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice the righteous. Now get this now. He said, but I called the sinner to repent. Now let me tell you something. Christ said that a lot of people that sinners out there in the world, they are cold. Listen to what I'm saying. My son, Brother Rick, your daughter, Sister Tamika, your daughter, they are cold. Now, you know what? We are Adventists. We proclaiming. I'm proclaiming the Lord. I love the Lord. But if I'm lukewarm, guess who's going to spit out his mouth? Me. And but those, he said he have other sheep. So you know what? When we continue to pray for our children and not going to them and trying to Christianize them or baptize them, you know what? He say, leave them alone. Say, praise God. I say, you know what, Lord? Sometimes when things is just, when we hear so much and sometimes we get it, how we just need to leave our children alone and let God and let him have his way. And I say, thank you, Jesus. I say, because you know what? You have Sister Ashley in your hand. You know what Brother Jarvis is doing. You know what Brother Taiwan. You know these children. You know all our sins. You know all of us. And Lord, and sometimes Jarvis would do things and even curse at God. But you know what? God says they belong to him. So, you know, I just thank him, sisters and brothers, because they're his. We give them to him. Give them to him and leave them there. And I just thank God for that. But we can lift them up in prayer in our closet. We can lift them up in prayer on the prayer line. That's nothing stopping us from lifting them up in prayer. Is that right? Praise God. Because that we can do. But keep pushing their button. We're not going anywhere. And I say, you know what? Thank God for that message. So brothers and sisters, if you can press 1 and share, I'd like to open your line. Amen. Oh, let's open this line. 518-744. We're opening your line. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. And I just here listening to you and Sister Tamiko and her songs. And what a blessing. What a blessing to all of us. Thank you for hosting tonight, Sister. And I'm just grateful to be on the line tonight. And, you know, I was listening to what you were saying, what this gentleman was telling you. And, well, we have tried it other ways, haven't we, Sister, and it hasn't worked. So,
that's what I'm talking about, Brother.
I am willing to try a new way because all all of my scolding or whatever you want to call it has never done any good. So let's lead them to the Lord. I know, Sister, you've been telling me that for a while, and I have been trying to do that with Ashley. She's a little more open to talking about spiritual things. I don't think her heart is there yet, but she is at least willing to talk about them, and I'm grateful for that, because it's hard when somebody doesn't want to talk about anything spiritual, but you know what, we have to leave them to the Lord, because he has ways that we know nothing about. That's definitely what we have to remember. He is so much higher than we are. His ways are higher than our ways. And grateful that he is our God, and he is going to take care of our children. And today, for some reason, right in the middle of the day, all of a sudden, Brother Taiwan came to mind, and Brother Jarvis, and Ashley, and I stopped what I was doing, and I prayed to the three of them, you know, that God would do his will in their lives. They would come on this prayer line someday and have a testimony that no one could question, and I know he's going to do great things, and so I am just anxious and waiting for that to happen, and just grateful for this day, Sister. You know, it's a blessing to have a new day to do what we need to do, and you know, God is always there. He's working. He's waiting for us to get on his timeline. Not we're thinking, okay, God, you know, if you just do things in my timeline, you know, I'm going to be all right. But as we know, that doesn't work out very well. And so I'm just thankful that he doesn't let us go our own way. So what would happen if God just said, hey, I'm going to turn these people over to whatever they want to do, and I'm just going to stand back. And, you know, a lot of people believe that God started this process, you know, this world, and then he just turned us loose. But he didn't. If he had turned us loose, we'd all be lost. There's nothing good in any of us, as we know. The scriptures tell us that. And so I am just thankful today that he didn't turn me loose. Because on my own,
amen,
I can get in a whole lot of trouble. And you know what?
Yes.
None of us are any different. We are all the same. And whether it's, you know, it may not be taking drugs or killing people, but it doesn't matter if we are living in sin. It doesn't matter what sin. We will not see the heavenly kingdom. So I had scripture here, Sister. Let me get it out here. I was just thinking about this. We were reading in Job.
Take your time. Ain't nobody but us. Take your time.
Okay.
Yeah.
This verse I came across here, and this is David. He was praying to God in 2 Samuel. And he says, "Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears." So David says, God, you are great. There is none like you. There is no God beside you. Okay? And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks or says. We know that to be true. And I want to try to find that verse in Job. I'll have to go look at my Sabbath school lesson. Actually, I was studying Sabbath school lesson, which is talking about sin, redemption, you know, the fall, all these things, and it was really good. And let me see if I can go find that, Sister, as long as we have time.
Brother Rick, did you say there's no walls? He has no walls?
What's that?
Say, quote that scripture again. I'm trying to pull it up for you.
Okay. That says, "Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears." So that is 2 Samuel 7:22. And let me see if I can find this other one here. I just had it here earlier. And, okay, here we go. This is Job 19. And this is just a really, it's just awesome. A couple verses here, Sister. And it's just say hi to Sister Tamiko, too. She keeps texting me every day, and I so much appreciate that. She's always got these beautiful little verses and poems and all kinds of scriptures, all kinds of things that she sends. And sometimes I answer back, sometimes I'm too busy and I don't. But you know what? It is a blessing. And thank you, Sister Tamiko. Job 19, verse 25. This is when Job had lost his children. He had lost most of his wealth. Cattle and the sheep were gone. His 10 children were dead. He was sitting there on the ground with sores all over his body, so painful he couldn't move. And then his friends came to him and were saying, "Hey, you know, you must have done something really bad. You haven't repented of your evil. Otherwise, God wouldn't be bringing this on you." And then his wife comes to him and says, "Job, are you still standing by your integrity? Just curse God and die. Just get it over with." And here Job is. He's like, wow, you know. And you know what? He hasn't lost his faith in God. He was talking, and he said he cursed the day that he was born, but he didn't say he cursed God, okay? And here he says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, and my reins be consumed with me." So Job knew who his Redeemer was. Okay,
yes,
and he knew that
did.
Even if he died and the worms ate up his body, he was going to see God in his flesh, meaning God would give him a new body, which we know that. But Job knew that too, and he said, "I shall see him for myself with my own eyes shall I see him, and not another way." So, I mean, it was just powerful when I was reading that. Like, wow, this man is the real deal, you know. Here he was going through all these trials, and you know we have trials.
And brother Rick, he didn't even think about he's saying this and wasn't even thinking and wasn't moaning and complaining about what's going on with his flesh, what's going on with his body. Yet he's speaking these words. Oh mercy, that's powerful.
Oh, he was the real deal, sister. You know what? God is looking for us to be the same thing, sister, because we have, as I was reading this, okay, I don't know if you study the adult Bible school lesson from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but they were talking about Job and all the things that are going on with him, and it's kind of like a mini view into what's going to happen to the saints in the last days, when just before Jesus returns, all these bad things. They're going to lose their homes. They're going to lose their children, possibly. You know, the children may turn away from them. They're going to lose their wealth and all these things. But they have Christ to hang on to. And if we hang on to him, we are going to make it through. And that is my hope and that is my prayer, that I hang on to him. I don't go looking to man. Don't go looking to woman. Don't go looking to anything other than Christ. And he will get us through. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our friend, and you know what? He is going to be there for us all the way, and we just have to hang on to him. So that's what I had to say, because it was just a wonderful couple verses that I was reading this morning, and it really touched me. And Job, you know, he was just so adamant that, you know, he was going to see God in his flesh with his own eyes. Yeah. So when trials come upon me, then I can look back to Job and say, wow, this guy, he kept the faith, and look, he is going to be in heaven. He is going to see God. And if I just you know, follow his example, keep my eyes on Christ, and I am going to see God too. Let's all keep that in mind when we are struggling, when we are having a hard time. We keep that in mind, and you know what? We can do it. We can make it. And there's no reason that we can't. So God is going to give us the power. He's going to give us the strength. He's going to give us all that we need, sister. So let us do that.
Amen.
And I just wanted to lift up my family in prayer. My wife, she'll be having her ablation done on Tuesday. I had to take her down to Albany last Tuesday for testing. We were gone all day for that, and all of her testing went well. She's had to have two COVID tests, which COVID has been rampant in our church. In her office, even a bunch of people got sick. Some of my family members got sick with COVID, and God has spared her from all that, because if she had gotten COVID, they would have canceled her procedure and would have had to reschedule it 3 or 4 months away. And she's been keeping an eye on her kidneys. They do test kidneys and liver, and these medications that she's on to stop the AFib right now are destroying her kidneys. And so we're just praying that this procedure goes well and takes care of the problem, and she can get off these things, because if she doesn't get off of them, it could go badly in a short time for her. And I just pray God will prove himself to her. She's a little apprehensive about the whole thing. I am not. I know God is going to take care of her, but she is very apprehensive. So I know that God can prove himself to her, and he will take care of her. So that's just please lift up my wife, and we'll continue praying for Ashley and Tyon and Jarvis. Just want to remember Sister Powell, Brother O'Neill, Sister Stephanie, Brother Udy, Sister Melissa, Brother Bernard, and all these folks, Sister Carla, and all the folks who joined the prayer line, Brother Sister Brenda, Brother John, and Brother Eli, who's always so faithful, lifting up his friends and his mom, and you know, all these people really are a blessing, sister, and so a real witness to me. Sister Tamiko and her family, all these people, just a real witness, real blessing. So thank you for opening my line. I just grateful that you take time out of your day to host this program, and just thanking the Lord for his goodness. He has been good. So thank you.
Yes, thank you, Brother Rick. Brother Rick, I know when the Bible calls for a man to be the priest of the home, you know what God honors?
Yes.
He's honoring you. He honors you. You have a wife. He know your wife is sick. And when you are doing your part, you lifting your wife up, you doing what you have. God called for strong men to follow him. And now, if that be God's will, whatever God's will is, we cannot change it, turn it around. But you know what? Prayers change things. So we can pray, and whatever his will, what he decide he will do, it will be done. So we know that you serve the Lord, and you don't have no regrets once you've done all that you can do. And then we let Christ step in, because once he step in, it is done and well done. So let us pray. Let us pray. It's not but just us on here. You, Sister Leola and Sister Tamiko. Now, I'm going to start a prayer by God's grace, and I'm going to ask the Father to lead me in this prayer for your wife and for our family, for Advent Light Ministry. I'll start the prayer. Yes. Oh, yes. What a privilege to Wait, I'm just saying, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our grief and all our grief to bear. I forgot some of my song. Amen, amen. I'm just going to go into prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because my memory don't always come. Everything don't always come. I sing this song all the time, brother. And the memory just lapsing right now. So, Lord, let us go into prayer. It's a privilege, Father, to carry everything to you in prayer. So now, Father, we come into you in prayer for Brother Rick's wife. And for first of all, Brother Rick is the priest of the home. And in his wife's behalf, we are praying for her. And not only her, Father, we lifted up her children also, Brother Rick, grandchildren, mother, his friends and family, all those that connect with him, Father. And now, Lord, we lift him up to you, asking, Father, that you take charge and allow your holy angels to run through that house right now, Lord, and bless Brother Rick and put his sweet Holy Spirit in there to take care and to bless each and every one, and especially to put upon Brother Rick your love and your blessing upon him to carry out the message and allow his children to see that he loved the Lord and that he's there to do the Lord's work. And every time he speaks to his kids, Father, and this is what we've been talking about earlier, Father, let your word be done, and let us stand back. Let us take the back seat, Father, because we don't want to be in the front. We need to be humble. We need to be ready to please God. So, Heavenly Father, as my brother has come to you in prayer, Father, he has many requests, Lord. First and foremost, his wife, Father, we lift her up to you, Father, that when he has his wife, Lord, his partner has been with him so long raising the kids, and there, Lord, Father, he have her, and now she a little sick. And, Father, we know that you got healing power in your hand, and we know that you can do anything but fail. And, Father, we ask that if whatever it may be, Lord, it may be some herbs that Brother Rick needs to know. It may be another person you need to send him to, Father, but we do know you have the answer. So, Heavenly Father, I pray and lift up his wife, Lord. And if you got to speak to Brother Rick and what to do and to direct him to help you, to help her, Father, I'm asking for that blessing. I'm asking you, Lord, Father, to open up her eyes and help her to trust you, Lord, and let her know that you are her redeemer, that you paid a price for our sins. You paid a price that we would be able to have life eternal. And that eternal life, Lord, is not this life we living in this world, but that life with Jesus and the Father, Lord, that life in heaven, to see our Father and to see our Savior for ourselves. As Brother Rick just read, Job 19 and verse 25, Heavenly Father, I pray as I lift him up to you, Father. Lord, he praying for his wife, Ashley, Father. He has other daughters, his son, Lord. He pray for them all, Father, because it's only you give life. And you, Father, you appoint to each and every person that love you and be obedient to you, Father. So please, I'm asking you to save your children and teach your children and give them understanding. Lord, Father, we ain't got to be preaching in their ear, telling them, come to Jesus. No, we're going to be that example for them. We got to show them love. We got to recognize that they are crying out to us for them, for us to love them, for us to just listen to them Heavenly Father, help us to listen. Oh, Father, most of all, Father, I'm talking about me. Me, Lord, help me to listen, oh, Father. So, Lord, as I'm continuing prayer for Brother Rick, Lord, I just thought if the finger was pointed at me, Lord, to listen. But I want to get back to Brother Rick and his family, Father, as we are lifting them up. Lord, we lift up his grandchildren to you, Father, which love their grandfather so much because he talks to them and he kind of play with them and do things with them. Children love that. So, Father, we ask that these children will grow up and knowing their grandfather and who he is and what he represents, Lord, Father, allow them to see it, and they may be grafting in to accept what they see. Because, Lord, when we have Jesus, we have peace. And, Lord, and without Christ, we have so much trauma in our life. So, Father, thank you so much for Brother Rick having Jesus Christ in his life, because, Lord, it's peace and it's joy, it's hope, it's everything that we have. So, Lord, Father, thank you so much as you continue to bless him, all the people around him. Lord, I'm asking you to bless his hands, the work that he do, the carpentry work, Father. I'm asking you to bless his mind and remembering and the things that he put down or a place. Father, help him to remember, Lord. And, Lord, bless his everything, his finance, Father, his home. Lord, I'm asking you to bless his grounds that they walk on. Everyone that come on that ground in Brother Rick's yard, Lord, may they get a blessing of the word of God. Lord, Father, we don't have to preach, but Lord, let the word, let the example of our lifestyle show to people, Father. Oh, thank you, Father, for your goodness. And Heavenly Father, as I lift up Sister Tanico, Lord, Father, I'm lifting her up, Lord, Father, asking that you, Lord, would bless her and her mother, Lord. She asking for a blessing for her mother and for her brothers and sisters, her children, Father, herself. Lord, Father, we ask that you lead and guide and keep them and that they may know you, Lord. She praying for her family, Lord, to study this, which she have gotten to know. And, Father, she know the truth as it is in Jesus. She said, because the Sabbath is the right thing for the Lord, and the health message is the right arm of the gospel. So, Lord, I thank you for Sister Tamika coming from the Jehovah's Witness Church and more powerful than some Adventists. Lord, Father, I thank you for the sister. I'm asking you, Lord, to continue to strengthen her and keep her, Father, and keep her eyes on you, Jesus, and no one else, because people can trip you off. And, Lord, Father, thank you for helping her. And now, Father, I lift up the power in her ministry, Lord, Father. What she is doing there in Jamaica, Father, she is offering Jesus to everyone. She's offered Jesus love. Amen. She offered Jesus his food to eat, the healing. She's offering all kinds of things that Jesus said, that you go out, compassion, and all these things. She's offering the fact that people need help in their homes, all this, Father. And I'm asking you to bless her abundance, Lord, that she can get what she needs to provide, to build these homes and to provide food and shelter, Lord, Father. Please help and give this work, Lord, Father, and let it be known that Jesus Christ was all this and more. So, Father, thank you. And, Lord, I lift up Sister Corla to you, Father, and with her business, I lift up a business most of all, because a business prospering, and it also helping the ministry, and it also helping her sisters and brothers as they use the ointment and all these things, Father. I lift up Sister Corla's family, her children, to you, Father, as you are calling all your people out of Babylon. So continue to call them, Lord. Amen. And I'm calling out of Babylon of every area, every soul, every person on this prayer line, our family, our kindred, and our friends. Lord, call them out of Babylon. And, Lord, may they understand the call, because the call ain't calling them out of Babylon just to do their own thing. The call is calling them out to do God's will, to keep his commandments,
amen,
and be obedient to him, Father. Thank you. And, Lord, I lift up Sister Stephanie to you and her daughter, KJ and Kaja, Lord, Father. As this young lady is in college, Lord, Father, I ask that you protect her. I ask that you keep her, Father. Lead her and guide her, Father. Oh, please have mercy. Keep her from any hurt, harm, or danger, Lord, because the enemy is always lurking how to cripple our children or take them down some way or the other. So, Lord, thank you so much for prayers. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Stephanie prayers, Sister Powell prayers, Brother Rick, Brother Richardson. I lift them all up to you, Father. Oh, there's so many names to go down, Lord. And, Lord, now as I continue, Lord, in this prayer, I'm asking you to bless Brother O'Neill, his family. Oh, Lord, Brother Rick and his family, Lord, Father. Sister Eva, Sister Daisy, Lord, Father. Lord, I'm going to run out of name. Brother Eli. Lord, so many brothers and sisters, I'm just asking you collectively, Lord, my children, Jarvis, LaCole, Shyla, Amari, all my family, Sister Brenda, Brother John, and her grandchild, all our families, Lord, we lift them up to you. And we thank you, Father, for all these blessings as we have prayed. Now, we're going to go, and may others be on the prayer line, Lord. We want to ask you, Father, touch their hearts. And I'm lifting up Brother Akeem, Lord, mainly because he bring the message. And, Lord, I'm asking that you put words in his mouth that you want him to teach, Lord, not of himself, but the word that come from our Savior. Our Savior said he did not speak his own word, but he spoke what the Father gave to him. So thank you, Father, and bless us on this prayer line. Bless us, Father, as we are here to worship and honor your word. We thank you, Father, in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So let us see if there's anyone else that have joined us can share by God's grace. Okay, brother, we have a hand up. Brother Rick, I'm going to ask you to offer a prayer after Brother Eli share. Amen. We're going to... open up Brother Eli's number, 857. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, Sister Mio. How are you, brothers and sisters? My name is Brother Eli. I'd like to thank God for his love, for his mercy. I'd like to thank God because God is good. He's merciful. He's worthy to be praised. And Sister Mio, I would like to say, I hear the voice of the Lord say to me, Sister Mio, the voice of the Lord say to me, I have to forgive. I have to forgive the others, if they do something wrong to me, I have to forgive them, because Sister Mio, the Lord wants me to forgive them, and Sister Mio, I know it's hard for me, but Sister Mio, I'm praying that the Lord will go come in my heart and forgive them, because Sister Mio, I have a loving heart, and I forgive those who are, I forgive those who did wrong to me. May God bless you all on the prayer line. Amen.
Amen. And Brother Eli, we all know that you have a loving heart. You know, as you always say, that your heart, you have the heart that God loves. And a cheerful heart, a heart that praises God and pray for others. So you continue to do that. Don't let nothing bother you. You just continue to love God and love the people and just share with them. And just don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything else. Amen? So
amen.
We thank you, Brother Eli, for coming on to share, okay? And I'm gonna have Brother Rick gonna open up a prayer for you. Okay. Okay, Brother Rick. Brother Rick, you heard Brother Eli. He sometimes he gets down when other things go on, but we just lift him up in prayer. And you can lift
okay,
the others
sister,
that
you can give me,
that I didn't remember.
You can give me just about 30 seconds. I will get to the spot here where it's a little quieter. And,
okay, that'll work. That'll work. So as we know,
I'm just about ready. Okay. Yes, sister. Okay. Let us let's bow our heads and we'll lift up Brother Eli here. Lord God, as we come before you, Lord, we want to lift up our dear brother Eli to you, Father. He has got love in his heart, Lord, that comes from you. Lord, we know that he loves you because your love is flowing through him, to his friends, to his mom, to his family, Lord. And Father, some days people will say things of his brother Eli's feelings, Lord. He has a tender heart, Lord, and we know that comes from you. So please, Lord, we lift him up to you. We ask that you would surround him with your love, Lord, with your presence, that he will feel that, Lord. And this hurt that he feels, Lord, would go away because you will take it away. And, Lord, we're just grateful that he gives that to you and doesn't allow that to make him angry, doesn't lash out as so many do, Lord. Father, continue to guide him. Be with his mom, Lord. Be with all of his friends. I remember Johari and Giselle, and, Lord, I don't remember all of Brother Eli's friends, but you know each one of them, Lord. We want to just lift them up to you and ask that you would touch their hearts, Lord. Speak to them, Lord. Convict them of your goodness, of your greatness, Lord, of your love for them, Lord. And change their hearts also, so they will be, Brother Eli, and they can be together in spreading the gospel to others, Lord. Father, we want to see them on this prayer line, giving their testimonies, Father. And, Lord, we know that this is going to happen one of these days, Lord. Help us be patient. And as Sister Leola and I, you were talking, help us to live out our convictions, Lord. Live out our love for you in the way that we treat others, Lord. We don't have to tell them everything we know right away. Lord, we just need to love them. And when these people become curious and wonder why we are different, why we don't lash out, why we don't get angry at them for being mean or saying hurtful things, then we can tell them that it's you, Lord. It's your goodness, it's your love, it's your mercy, it's your grace that gives us the power and the strength to do these things, oh Father. And Father, Sister Leola lifted up a bunch of different names, Lord, and we're just grateful for each one of the people that she lifted up. Continue to watch every person on this prayer line, Lord, those who call in, those who listen, those maybe from other countries, Lord. We just want them to feel your love and your goodness. We want them to be in your kingdom, in your will, dear Lord, and spreading that good news to those around them, Lord, of your soon coming. Lord, we know it's going to be soon. And, Lord, just forgive our sins, O Father. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Guide us into your truth, dear Lord. Lord, if someone comes along spreading untruth or error, Lord, give us wisdom and discernment that we can know what to say and what to do and what not to believe, Lord, because there is so many things going on right now. People spreading false teachings, Lord. And, Lord, we want to be only believing the true things, the good things, Lord, the things that you have taught us in the scriptures, Lord. Father, you know, I remember Brother Akeem, too, as he has been faithfully speaking to us for many years now, Lord. And, Lord, it is such a blessing to hear him. And his ministry, Lord, has given us ideas. He's making the scriptures plain and simple so that we can understand, Lord, and we can relate to them. And Lord, as we learn, as we understand, as we comprehend, Lord, please help us to share those things with others. Father, may your grace and the Holy Spirit be upon us. We pray these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for the prayer. I tell you, my brother's prayers is a blessing. As
amen.
Brother Rick has lifted up Brother Eli and others, and we just want to thank Brother Rick for his faithfulness. Brother Rick, I tell you, we have been, I think we have been with this prayer line for how long, Brother Rick, since 2012? 2012? When did it start?
I think it was probably 2014, sister. I think it's been like 8 years now.
No.
Maybe it's longer, sister.
No, it was 2012. It was 2012 before I got baptized. So at the beginning of the year, around February 2012, because I got on.
Yeah, it would have been February,
Yeah, February 2012. No, it's going to be more than,
was it
because
really?
It'll be 8 years. You remember Brother Ray came to the first camp meeting, and it was in 2015.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's going to be
right.
8 years next year that I've been married, and Brother Ray came. And I came to in 14. I came in 14. Yeah.
Right.
I came a year before I was married, and then I came that year too. So, yeah, we've been, so it's been about 10 years we've been together now.
Wow.
And to get
I think it'll
to
be
know
10 years you, maybe in February.
Yeah, it's 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that'll be 10 years.
Yeah,
this is 20,
I did not.
This is 22.
Yeah, I did not get on the prayer line right at the very beginning, but Brother Yudi came over to my house and got me on the prayer line. I don't remember exactly when it was, but it wasn't too long after it started. It was a few months after it started, and I started coming
right,
on.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And you know what, sister? I've been blessed every single time since then. So.
Right. I know I met you at the mountain at the Wang's house.
Yes.
And that was in 2014.
Yes.
That was the first camp meeting. We was on
right.
the mountain.
Yes.
And that was 2014.
Yes.
And, yeah, and I tell you, at that time, that's when I first met you then. And I met your wife in 2015, I believe, when my husband was there. Because
right.
I think Brother, what's his name, the forerunner, Christopher Hudson, was there. And Brother King.
Yes, he was there. For our first camp meeting. Yes, he was there.
Yeah. Mhm. So that was really nice meeting you all, and I feel like you are my family now, because we've
Amen.
Been together now for 10. This is 22. We've been together for 10 years. It's been 10 years. It's gonna be 11 years next year. No, 22.
No, I think it'll be 10 years.
In 2012. No, it's going to be 10 years next year, right? Next year. 10 years next year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 10 years. And I think I've been to 4 camp meetings.
Yeah.
I think I've been there 4 times. Mm-hmm. 4
right.
times. So and that's a blessing.
Amen.
So with that, you know, I've gotten to know you all, and, you know, it's such a blessing. So I'm grateful for that. And I've even been to your church.
Amen.
I've been to Kingsbury Church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a blessing. So we're going to now we're going to ask Sister Tamika to offer a prayer, and then Brother Akeem going to be on about that time. We're going to ask her to pray, because it's just us few. It's us few. Everybody,
okay.
not everybody's not on. They, some another, they, you know, people. I wasn't gonna be on tonight. I was going to my niece's baby shower. This is my sister daughter that I helped raise, and
yes.
And I'm thankful, you know, and I just was gonna be there tonight, and I wasn't gonna be on, but it just so happened that things changed for me, and I was able to post the prayer line tonight. So I'm grateful.
Amen.
I'm grateful I'm here, was able to share, be able to pray. And you know what? My daughter said I was too tired to drive, so I didn't end up going. And when I was coming back home from when I went out today, I was yawning at 3:30. And I'm like, oh, boy, I'm so glad I didn't go out of town. So that's the blessing. So let's open the line for Sister Tamika, and she can share with us tonight. And, you know, we want to open Sister Tamika's line. Sister Tamika, your line is open. You want to offer a prayer? Should Brother Rick offer a prayer? You can offer a prayer, too, before Brother Akeem come on.
Amen, Sister. I just need a little bit of time to get up to my room, if you can give me a few minutes,
okay.
And I will be glad to pray.
Amen. That is fine. That is fine. I'm going to just leave your line open, and I'm going to share the scripture that I was reading. That's this scripture. We have one more scripture, Brother Rick, and it's talking about the mote in thy brother's eye and a beam in my eye. I say, oh, Lord, look, my head was hanging down like, Lord, help me. So I want to read that these scriptures that really, as I wanted to go over these scriptures, that these scriptures, I'm telling you, the Bible says the scripture will make one wise. The scripture make us wise. And I'm going to read Luke chapter 6 and verse 41 and 42. And I'm reading a scripture, and it say, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceive not the beam that is in thine own eye? I said, whoa. And either how can thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull the mote out of your eye, in thine eye, when thou self beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? And he said, thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall thy see clearly to pull the mote out of thy brother's eye. I said, Lord, have mercy. You know, brother, you know, God is a sense of, God has a sense of humor. He is so clever. He is so omnipotent. You know, Brother Rick, if we did not, if that's why they say he is God. There's no one could be, there's nothing on this earth could be a God, nothing. The only thing could be a God is the one that created all things. And you know why, my brother? Because he knows. And he can tell us. And when we look at ourselves, we see ourselves in these scriptures. These scriptures speak to us. They convict us. Oh, mercy. Okay, let me see if Sister Tamika is ready. Okay, she's not ready. She's gonna say amen once she's ready. So as I read this, Brother Rick, you know, I say, Lord, a lot of things is for me. It's for me, Brother Rick. A lot of things, you know, not that I judge, but there's still sin in me, sin in us. And Christ is trying to get us right for his kingdom. Oh, praise God. So I'm just grateful for the word of God. Because if it had not been for this word, I wouldn't be where I am today Amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen. Sister Tamika, I was just praising God. If it had not been for this word, Sister Tamika, I would be Sister Tamika. Sister Leola was not nice when she was young. You know, Sister Leola was bad girl. The word of God continues. God talked about the tongue, that little thing on the wheel. You know how the little wheel on the ship, and it turned the whole ship. He said that little tongue in the body, that little member in the body, it's worse than everything. And that tongue, I used to say anything out that mouth. I tell people just how I feel. But you see, with that word convicted me.
Amen.
And it helped me change my life. And
Amen,
I pray, God,
sister.
Lord, help me to say the right thing. Because sometimes,
my prayer,
you know, so I thank God for this word. So, okay, sister, you can sing your song. You can sing a song. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, you can pray. I'm going to say pray.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious night. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all together, dear Lord, as your children. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that you love us all with an everlasting love. We thank you, Father God, that you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. We are so grateful to be here, Heavenly Father, thanking you. But, dear Lord, providing food on our tables, clothes on our backs, shoes on our feet. Dear Lord, a home that you provide for each and every one of our family members, a car, dear Lord, that we can be able to get from point A to point B. And, Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful. We bless your great and holy name. We magnify your great and holy name. We glorify your great and holy name because you are so worthy to be praised. Heavenly Father, we fall short many times. Dear Lord, so we are claiming and declaring Psalms 51, 10 through 12, as I stand in the gap for everyone on this prayer line this evening. Please create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew within us a right spirit. And do not cast us away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from us, but restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us by your generous spirit. So we thank you, Father God, for forgiving us of our sins. Please, Lord, give us victory over sins. Because we do fall short many times, Heavenly Father. And we are lifting up everyone on the prayer line this evening. I lift up Sister Leola and Brother Ray and her precious Jews, Nicole and Jarvis. Continue to bless God and keep them safe. Bless her grandchildren as well. Strengthen them, Father God, and walk with them along life's narrow ways. Heavenly Father, we ask that you give them a double portion of the Holy Spirit. And strengthen them to get through these trials and tribulations that we all are facing now in these last days. We thank you so much for them. Father God, we ask that you cover them under the blood of Jesus. From the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, may you wash them as white as snow and always be with them, Father God. Heavenly Father, we also are lifting up Brother Rick and his family. We lift up his daughter Ashley and his other daughters and his grandchildren. And we lift up his wife, dear Lord, that he mentioned will be having surgery soon. So we're praying for healing for her. He said, by your stripes we are healed. We can just touch the hem of your garment. We will be made whole. We are praying for a supernatural miracle of healing in his wife's body, that she will be strengthened, Father God, because you are the great physician. You are the Dr. Jesus. We know there's a healing balm in Gilead, Jesus of Nazareth, and we're asking for healing for your precious daughter, that she will be well again. So, Father God, we ask that you be with this family, strengthen them, cover them under the blood of Jesus, that no weapons formed against them will prosper. We ask that you place the blood of Jesus over their doorposts, place the blood of Jesus over their window posts and over every area in their home, and keep them safe and protected at all times. Because we know the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but God has come to give us life and give it more abundantly. So we thank you, Father God, for what you're doing for each and every one of us. And we ask that you continue to be with this family. Be their rock, their fortress, and their strong tower, Father God. Be their hiding place. We will be sure to give you all praise and honor and glory. Heavenly Father, we also lift up Brother Eli and his mom, Rose. We lift up all his friends at the DACO program, dear Lord, that he is praying for. Brother Javelle, Brother Jahari, Brother Janelle, Sister Tatiana, Brother Isma.
We know all his friends, dear Lord Jesus, and we ask that you draw them closer to you in these last days. As it says in your word, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. James 4:8, so please be with him and strengthen his friends, Heavenly Father. Walk with them all along life's narrow ways. Give them a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Place a hedge of guardian angels of protection around their home and around their door and keep them covered under thy blood. Heavenly Father, we thank you for them. Continue to be with them, Father God, and let Brother Eli know that he doesn't have to worry about anything because you said you would provide everything for him and take care of him as he is your precious son, Heavenly Father. So we thank you in advance for what you're going to do for Brother Eli to mend his broken heart, dear Lord, and show him that love and compassion that only you can give to him, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for him. And Heavenly Father, we are also lifting up all of our other brothers and sisters on the prayer line this evening. We also lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John, and we lift up her children, dear Lord. Please continue to bless her children and her grandchildren. Father God, strengthen her. Dear Lord, be with her at all times, dear Lord. Watch her going in and coming out. Dear Lord, we ask that you place a hedge of holy guardian angels of protection around her and her home. Dear Lord, keep her safe and protected. Keep her doors covered under the blood of Jesus, her window posts, over every area of her home, and give her the Holy Spirit, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we ask that you open up her heart to you. We invite the Holy Spirit for everyone on this prayer line, dear Lord, this evening. We ask for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to cover each and every one of our family members because we need the Holy Spirit, dear Lord. So please help us, Father God, to stay faithful. Help us to seek you first while you yet may be found, dear Lord. We need you in these last days. Every minute, every hour, every second we need you. We lift up Sister Stephanie and her precious jewels, KJ and Kaja. Father God, you know what they stand in need of. We're asking, Father God, that you provide their every need according to your riches and your glory. We ask, too, for the covering of your blood over their family members, dear Lord. We see that the enemy is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour someone, but we know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So please continue to strengthen her and be with her, Father God. Give her wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Let the Holy Spirit be her teacher and her guide, Lord Jesus. You said, ask and we shall receive. You said, knock and the door shall be open. And you said, seek and we shall find. Dear Lord, you said, for everyone who asks, receives. And to him who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be open. So we are praying a special prayer for Sister Stephanie that all will go well with her landlord, with the college professor, Sister Laura, praying that she will open up her heart and show love and compassion. We pray, Lord, you will give the landlord and Sister Nikita Laws the love that you can only give to them and help them to understand the fruitage of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness and gentleness and self-control. So we are praying, dear Lord, that you do a mighty work in the both of them so that they will know what they did was wrong and they will turn around from their wicked ways and they will do what is right in your eyes, Lord Jesus. So we thank you so much for them, and we place the situation into your holy hands. Heavenly Father, we also lift up Sister Powell in Jamaica and Alex Nation. Please continue to bless her ministry, dear Lord. Bless all of her children, her siblings, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren. Heavenly Father, continue to strengthen her, dear Lord. We thank you for the work that she is doing there, helping Alex Nation, dear Lord, to build that home for the Williams family. We are so grateful, and we thank you for them. Please multiply the donations that are coming in and the brothers that she's bringing over to help. It's such a blessing, dear Lord, what she is doing. So continue to be her rock. Be her fortress and her strong tower, Father God. Be her hiding place, Father God. Hide her behind the cross of Calvary, dear Lord. We ask that you hide her in your white robe of righteousness. We ask that you hide her in your presence. Let her feel your presence even right now. Be with her, Father God, as we pray for each and every person on this prayer line in spirit and in truth. We need you now more than ever. If we never needed you before, we need you now, dear Lord. So please be with each and every one of us, Father God, and help us always to rely on you. As you said in your word, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. You said, fear not, for I have redeemed you, and I have called you by your name, and you are mine. So, Heavenly Father, we are lifting up all our brothers and sisters on this prayer line tonight. We lift up the sick, the homeless, the poor, and the lame. We lift up Sister Continelli. We lift up Brother O'Neill. We lift up Brother Udy and his wife, Melissa. We lift up Brother Bernard, who was hurt in an accident, healing for his shoulder, dear Lord, to get better and get well. Dear Lord, we lift up Brother Akeem James, who will be hosting tonight. Dear Lord, we ask that you place coal upon his lips and let the Holy Spirit speak for him. Dear Lord, give him direction. Dear Lord, we're asking that you also give him wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and let the Holy Spirit be his teacher and guide. Dear Lord, that you will give him the correct words to say as he preaches his sermon for each and every one of us tonight. So we thank you, Father God, for everything you've done for each and every one of us. We lift up all of our children, our grandchildren, on your precious throne of grace. And we ask that you be with each and every one of us, Heavenly Father. We declare your words, dear Lord. We receive them. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do for each and every one of us, Father God. And we love you. We thank you. We trust in you. We leave now, Father God, in your precious care and keeping, in the precious and matchless name of King Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray always with praise and thanksgiving on our lips. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Tamiko, for lifting us up in prayer. So let us begin. Let us open Brother Akeem's line. Brothers and sisters, he's on the line. So let us just lift him up in prayer. Open up a prayer, Father in heaven. Brother Akeem is ready to bring the word. Now, Father, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to be with him and lead and guide him on this message. And may you bless him and give him words that he may speak according to your will. We thank you, Father, for all these blessings. Bless each and every brother and sister on the prayer line, and we lift them up to you. May you bless their families, that you keep them, and especially protect each and every one of us on this prayer line. We thank you. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. So, brothers and sisters, we want to thank Sister Tamika for prayer. Want to thank Brother Rick for prayer. Thank Brother Eli for sharing. And now we're going to open Brother Akeem James' line for brothers and sisters so you can hear the message. He's our speaker for tonight. And Brother Akeem, your line is open. Amen. God bless.
Amen, amen, amen. Once again, thankful to be here. And as we go into this last segment, the future, I'll probably do some more aspects on how we can do ministry, but tonight we're going to finish off with bringing us back to the reason that we're doing all of these things, to become entrepreneurs, spiritual entrepreneurs, Seventh-day Adventists, entrepreneurs, and doing, using our gifts for the glory of God. And so something I wanted us to look at here is we can look at Matthew chapter 10. And this is one of the reasons that I was mentioning we use our talents and abilities, but ultimately what Christ is trying to do is that as we use those talents and abilities, friends, God will be able to do a manifold work through us. I want to read a few statements as we go to Matthew chapter 10. It says, all should be taught how to work. Especially should those who are newly come to the faith be educated to become laborers together with God. If this duty is neglected, the work of the minister is complete. So it is the responsibility of the minister to place the people into, to empower them and place them in areas in which they can become laborers. If this work is neglected, the work of the minister is incomplete. But God does not want his people to hang their weight upon the ministers. And many times this is what is happening in many of our churches. We have this idea that it is the pastor that must do it all. And the church that has that mindset, many times it is statistically proven now that those churches will have so many different divisions, so many factions within it, so much animosity between different cliques. And ultimately, many times, those churches die because they have not followed the New Testament model in which Paul actually set up the churches that he set up in his day. He set them up, set up elders, organized them, and then he and gave them the opportunity to stand without him, to realize that they had to move forward in a united effort. And it was powerful, so amazing how Paul set up these churches. They were so established that even when he left, the churches flourished to the point that Paul could say, I believe it is in the book of Colossians specifically chapter 1 and verse 18, I believe it is. Actually, let me try to get it here. Actually, verse 23, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, Paul states this concerning the church in Colossae. He says, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached, here it is, to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a made minister. Do you see that? That's powerful, because what it is telling us here is that it wasn't only Paul spreading the gospel, but because he set up churches in such a way that they became missionary centers of influence, even when he left them, they were so equipped, so established, so connected to Christ and being co-laborers with him, that by the time that Paul wrote the book of Colossians, the gospel had spread throughout the entire then known world. It's not just that the gospel was preached to them, but they were known. The church was known by the entire then known world, those churches that Paul had established. And so what does that reveal to me? It reveals that this is the model that God would have us to follow today. And that is how it was in the New Testament church, that everybody realized that they had a work to do, that when they were converted to Christianity, that now they had to take their business and be a witness there. That when they became a Christian, now they actually, whatever region, whether they were, even if they were a slave back in that time, they were to now be as what? Servants unto the Lord in how they obey their master, as long as it would not contradict the word of God. Of course, we know that according to the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, the principles were being laid by Paul, that it followed to its full effect, which would ultimately happen in the 1800s with our movement. Inspiration tells us that if the principles he laid down would be followed to its full effect, it will lead to the eradication of slavery. But as Paul understood the context in which he was living in, he was laying down the principles, and he said, if you are in this situation, even you can have an influence, regardless of who the person was, whether by personal labor, whether it be by the medical missionary work, in personal labor, a different avenues of doing evangelism within the cities of the then known world, having a church in houses, or at this time having meeting houses, as Inspiration calls them, in buildings that were bought or rented, churches as we would call them today, or having places where food was sold. It matters not what the occupation was. People realized, okay, I must take whatever I have now and use it to influence others for Jesus Christ. And so friends, every person, every member in the church understood that so much that by the time Paul wrote Colossians 1:23, the gospel had gone out to the entire then known world. And so as we pray and we go into this next section, I want us to see what would happen if all that we covered in the past few weeks were implemented, every Christian saw themselves as a worker for God, that they did not separate spirituality and their business, but they mingle them in wisdom and tact, what the results can be, we will see. Father in heaven, strengthen and illuminate our minds, Lord, and that we may see what is possible, be inspired by what is possible, and by your grace, be co-laborers with you to make that possible, to allow you to bring it into being in our very lives, individually, and as you do it one by one, by one, by one. There will be tens of thousands of people. And finally, it will be a corporate effort, but starting individually. Do this work in us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So, friends, what we're seeing, so we're going to look at this, and this is the understanding that the church, as it was starting up, the Seventh-day Adventist movement, as it was starting up, this is what it understood. It understood that each member has a work to do. And this is why now, I was mentioning over the past few weeks, the things that I'm doing and the things that God is calling you and I to do, in whether it be starting off our own business or using our business, if we have one already, or if we're involved in one, to have an influence there. I didn't finish reading this. This is very powerful because she continues by stating, this is in Welfare Ministry, page 111. It says, but God does not want his people to hang their weight upon the minister. As the steward of the grace of God, every church member should feel an individual responsibility to have life and root in himself. All who are ordained unto the life of Christ are ordained to work for the salvation of their fellow men. He who loves God supremely and his neighbor as himself cannot rest content with doing nothing. Did the professed believers in the truth live the truth? They would today all be missionaries. Some would be working in the islands of the sea, some in the different countries of the world. Some would be serving Christ as home missionaries. Not all are called upon to go abroad. Some may be successful in business lines, and in this work they may represent Christ. Now listen to what she says, because you have many present truthers who are against this, but listen to what she says. She says, they may show to the world that business may be conducted in righteous on righteous principles, in strict fidelity to the truth. Then she says this, there may be Christian lawyers, Christian physicians, Christian merchants. Christ may be represented in all lawful callings. Powerful. Because there's some of these occupations that I just mentioned here. You have people within present truth circles saying, you can't do that. You can't go and get an education and represent Christ as a lawyer. You can't represent Christ as a physician, or you can be a merchant, one who does trade and represent Christ. But what does the spirit of prophecy tell us? It tells us that you can represent Christ in all of these areas. And the reason, as I mentioned before, is because many, many of us, and I would include myself before I read these statements, we have placed God in a box, not realizing that the principles that the spirit of prophecy and the Bible lays down, when we truly study them, we begin to realize how infinite God's operations are, that he can operate in areas that we think he can't, that he can do things in certain sectors of society that we say he can't do. Now, there are many things that the Bible and the spirit of prophecy forbids. But as she points out here, Christ may be represented in what? All lawful callings. And lawyer, physician, tradesman, businessman, many of these areas, she's saying here, they are lawful. So if God has called you to that area, do that. If God has called you to go to school and gain an education to become a lawyer, friends, the spirit of prophecy shows us that we can. Oh, how balanced. When we finally read not just the prophetic books, but we read all of the counsel, we begin to realize how balanced not just the prophet was, but how balanced God is. And so as this happens now in the church, in the Seventh-day Adventist movement, as it was rising up and these principles were being laid forward, you had people who would do the very things that I mentioned to you. They would find out, what is my gift and ability? What do I do very well, very easily, that I can have an impact with? And they began to implement that through personal labor. There were people who began to go in and study law, go into different schools and study law, which Ellen White also permits, that if a man or a woman is strong in their faith, that they can go into these institutions, not only receive the equipment to become a lawyer in the context of the world, but to have an influence for Christ even there. So yes, supporting Christian education, Seventh-day Adventist Christian education, but also to know that if God calls a person into a certain sector, which may be outside of Adventism, to not be afraid if calling you. That's the thing, right? So people were doing this. People understood that, man, I have to do what I can. Man, you know what? I think I'm good at cooking. I'll try to rent out an area in the city where I can start up a cafe. Friends, this was actually happening. The people saw that they were co-laborers, and it was to the point that secular news organizations were beginning to ask Seventh-day Adventist leaders, man, how is it that your church is blossoming and booming? And you just were, you were just organized just a few years ago. The Seventh-day Adventist Church was officially organized in 1863. But all of a sudden, by the time 1876 came, the church was blossoming all over the country and all over the world. So secular organizations were coming to them and asking, how is this possible? And you know what the answer from our church leaders was? One of the answers were, it was, one of the answers they gave was this: we do not have settled pastors. In other words, people today who get upset if a pastor is moved. And of course, yes, man, if that pastor was encouraging them, pushing them, strengthening them to be laborers together with Christ, comforting their hearts with the love of God, of course, there's a connection. But many people get so upset that they begin to get upset at the conference. And they're thinking, man, why are you moving? Why do you keep moving these pastors? Not realizing. And here's the reason why. Why do you keep moving them? We need a pastor here. We need someone to oversee us. We need someone here who can take care of the problems. Not realizing, friends, that they are the ones that need to do that. The members are the ones that need to be so in connection with God that it matters not whether they have a pastor or they don't. Just being part of the organized movement and having the counsels that God has given to us, that they will begin to equip themselves. Yes. Is there a role for the pastor? Yes. One who equips, one who oversees. But friends, I've had people tell me, man, well, the pastor's supposed to do the visitations. The pastor's supposed to do the preaching. The pastor's supposed to somehow be the one that connects with everybody. No, friends. The pastor is to equip the church members, the elders, and people who would love to join them to do the visitations, to make connections with the people, training the people also how to be personal laborers. In other words, to say, what do I have in my life that I can use that can bring me an income if I have none, and also be a blessing for the cause of God? And so this is why I'm saying this to you, because as you do these things that we mentioned over the past few weeks, you become a personal laborer. And not only that, you make a living from the labor that you're doing. And oh, how beautiful it is to have a passion for something and to live, to make a living from that very passion. Friends, it's powerful. And in a sense, God is calling many of us to do this. But as we do this work, it is to support an overarching work. And I want to bring that up for us here. I'm going to bring up this statement, powerful statement. I'm going to show this from Matthew chapter 10. And then we'll end off with a solid spirit of prophecy statement, and we'll see the results of it as I show it here. Give me one second. Let me bring this up. So amazing as I was looking at this. Let me bring it up, because my friend and I, we were talking about this, and it was amazing. I was like, brother, this is the work that we have to do. So I'm going to bring this up so I show us this work, and this is what we are supposed to support, whether it be by our means, friends, or whether God calls us to actually do this personally, right? And you'll see what I mean here. You will see what I mean. Give me one second. Let's see. One second. I want to make sure I get this for you. All right. So I will do it with what I have. All right. And we'll see it here. Probably next week I'll mention that one, the next one, as we go into our new subject. All right, so this is the understanding here. So Matthew chapter 10, we'll go to Matthew chapter 10, and then I'll read the very statement I was mentioning. All right, so Matthew chapter 10, it states there that Jesus did this very thing. So he was teaching his disciples how to be workers. So it says in Matthew chapter 10, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Now, this is powerful because Jesus was even giving Judas power. Judas was among this group. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And keep in mind also these disciples, they were not thoroughly converted. It says, but they had this power. And then we read in verse 2, the name, verses 2 and 3, the names of the 12 apostles, and also in verse 4, of Judas Iscariot and Simon the Canaanite. It says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now this is powerful because it teaches us also the principles that we are to enact as we do this personal work. So yes, we're doing this personal work, but every business that we set up, whether it be that we are involved in an occupation already, or that we're involved in an occupation, but we're setting up the side business in which we are using our gift to develop it until we go fully into it, or whether we are fully into that business already of our own making by God's grace, there is a systematic way in which we must do this. We are told actually in Desire of Ages concerning Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, and as you go, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, Jesus told them, don't get into disputes with the people. Just tell them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If they inquire more, help them to understand what you mean concerning the messianic ministry. But don't go deep with them. And that's something that we must also understand, that as we do the work of God in our business, as we share Christ, it's going to look different for every person. That's why we have to be so in harmony with the Spirit, to have the Spirit of God, to know what to say and what not to say. And here it is now, verse 8, we begin to see the principles. Heal the sick, friends, in that one statement. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely have received, freely give. In that one verse, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, we see multiple layers of the systematic work to which God has called us. Because healing the sick involves the medical missionary work. Cleansing the leper involves the medical missionary work. What will that look like today in the message that we have been given, the counsel that we have been given? That looks like part of the city work. That looks like the hygienic restaurants. It looks like the health food stores. It looks like also trainings within our church concerning health. So as we look at this, one of the major things is that we are seeing in this one text multiple layers. And this is pertaining to the city work. There are six portions to the city work that God is calling us to do or to support, right? Because as you may be called into an area where you're using your gift and making a living from it, God may not necessarily be calling you to set up a restaurant, but he may be calling you to support that work, problem that we find. The next problem that we find is many people, they may use their gifts, they may use their abilities, but because they don't know the systematic work that God has called to be done in the city and in the country, they have money and they may do good things with that money. They may be even doing a spiritual work with that money. But because they don't know the specific work for this time connected to their personal labor that they're already doing, friends, they never put money into this work that I'm mentioning to you. So that's why you have people who may have hygienic restaurants, and for years, it's just one restaurant in one city. But friends, what God is calling for is a hygienic restaurant in every city. But you know how that's going to happen? If those who have means support that work. And then you have another group. You have those who know about this work. They may say, okay, Lord, I know that you're not calling me to this work, but they have the means to support the work, but they will not support it. They know of people who have hygienic restaurants who are trying to spread the Adventist message through that, just as the system calls for. They may know people who have health food stores, but they won't support it. They may know people who, as it concerns the country work, that there's families or a few people that got together and they got a house and they made it into a sanitarium. And they know about those people, but they won't support that work. Friends, God may call you, may not call you into starting off a sanitarium or hygienic restaurant or to start off a health food store. Calling you to use your gift to set up a business that's very different. But friends, he expects of us to not only do our own personal work in support of spreading the message, but also to give resources to those who are doing this system that is in the city and in the country. All right? So this is why it is crucial for us to not only make a living, but to support this system. I just laid out for you the city work. Next week I'll lay out for you the country work. Because some of us, God is going to call us into this business. Some of us, he's going to call us to use our gifts, and it may lead into a business that is totally different. But from the means that you get, yes, provide for your family. Yes, support the corporate work of the church. But it is also to support those that are doing, here it is, the city work, is personal labor, house-to-house work too, city missions, public evangelism, those who are trying to go into the cities and get halls, whether it be rent out halls or go into community halls for free and get literature and get it before the people, do sermons, invite people, whether it be to depression recovery programs, introducing them to help the help message, or whether it be an evangelistic series done in the cities, renting out halls and doing those things. Friends, that costs money. Friends, in order to set up a hygienic restaurant, that's the fourth portion of the city where it takes money. In order to do a church with a school, it takes money. In order to do a health food store, it takes money. That's why those of us who have the means, especially as we do the principles that I mentioned over these past few weeks, don't forget this work. You may be doing something totally different, but remember, there's a system that God has laid out in the spirit of prophecy that people are trying to do. They're giving themselves to this. And they need resources, not just to do this work in the city, but to duplicate it in other cities. God is calling, this is what God is calling for, that in every city, personal labor will be done, that in every city, there would be house-to-house work, that in every city, there would be people, churches renting out the halls to go to the people where they are, because many people won't come to a church. He's saying to the people, hey, in every city, I want a hygienic restaurant. Why? Because I know people are more sometimes, the way that I'll get them is through their health. They won't come to a church building. Hey, I'm also calling for the building of churches with schools, because I know sometimes while parents may not bring their children to the church immediately, do you know that there are many parents who, even though they may have grown up with a Christian background, they may have come away from really seriously practicing the faith, but for some reason they always want their children to be in a school connected with the church. Have you ever realized that? Hence, God says, set up these schools. And through that, then, they can be introduced not just to the practical things that they have to learn, practical subjects, but they can be introduced to spiritual things. And through the child, I can get the parent. Friends, in every city, God wants a health food store. But it requires the help of those who may not be called to start these things off. It requires the help of those who have means to help the people who want to start it. This is why in this generation, we have to become insanely selfless, because there are people who have the resources, who know what the work is, but they won't support it. They'll set up their businesses and they'll say, when I get the money, I'll support it. When I get it, when I make that money, I'll support it. But this is why with the resources that we have now, we need to begin setting aside and sending to those places. There are ministries that are doing this right now, even as I speak. Ministries like Red River Outpost, ministries like Meat Ministry, ministries in different parts of the United States and the globe. There are people who are endeavoring to start these kind of things now. But it's to learn how to connect with these people and help them to replicate it all over the U.S., that people may see a systematic movement, because this is how we begin to impact our communities. This is it. You want to impact your community? Things you're doing already. Powerful. Praise the Lord. It may be working. But friends, this is the systematic way. Next week, I'll show you the way that God has placed in the country. So I show you the sixfold ministry in the city. Personal labor, house-to-house work, city missions, hygienic restaurant, church with school, health food store. Now, it's powerful because this work was being done, and I read to you the statement before, but now I'm going to read to you the statement prior to that, and we'll end off on that. This is found, same book, Welfare Ministry, page 112, and I'll also give you the original place where the statement can be found when I end off the statement. Now, check this out, all right? This is powerful. This is so powerful because this is what God wants us to see in all of our churches today. It says, during the past years, Ellen White says, the beehive, and this is a reference to made to a revelation in 1876 when the activities of the then relatively new churches in San Francisco and Oakland were represented as two beehives. So one church in Oakland, one church in San Francisco. Now, I want you to look at the work that they were doing. During the past few years, the beehive in San Francisco, so she highlights the one in San Francisco, has been indeed a busy one. So all the church members were active, whether it be they had their own businesses or they were doing the system that I just mentioned. Many lines of Christian effort have been carried forward by our brethren and sisters there, that is in San Francisco. What do they include? These included visiting the sick. Do you realize it wasn't just a pastor? Church members who said, we will get up. The pastor is trying to equip us to get up and go out. We will get out and go and visit the sick and the destitute. Continuing finding homes for orphans. Come on. Because I hear a lot of people saying, well, man, dude, that's not our work. Friends, it is our work. You see, the reason Ellen White says that the work of George Mueller and the work of the Salvation Army is not our work, she said it was not our work if it disconnects us from the third angel's message. But friends, it is part of our work as we are seeking to advance the third angel's message. If it does not distract us from it, our work is practical. It's not just preaching. It's a practical message of doing. And so hence, this is why this testimony must be compared with testimony as scripture is with scripture. Our work is not the work of George Mueller and the Salvation Army as it disconnects us from advancing the message of the third angel. But if in spreading the third angel's message, you come across homes, you come across orphans, it is your duty to help them. It is our duty to visit the sick and the destitute. She says, finding homes for orphans and work for the unemployed. Whoa! Nursing the sick and teaching the truth from house to house work, distributing literature and conducting classes on healthful living and care of the sick. This church was doing all of this, but it doesn't end there. They had a school for the children, has been conducted in the basement of the Laguna Street Meeting House. That's in the basement of a church. That's a meeting house. For a time, workman's home and medical mission was maintained, so they were doing the medical missionary work. On Market Street, near the city hall, there were treatment rooms operated as a branch of the St. Helena Sanitarium. So the sanitarium was in the country, but they had a branch of it in the city, right? A treatment room. In the same locality was a health food store. What? You see that? Nearer the center of the city, not far from the calling building, was conducted a vegetarian cafe. That's our hygienic restaurant, which was open 6 days in the week and entirely closed on the Sabbath. Along the waterfront ship mission was work carried on. At various times, our ministers conducted meetings in large halls. That's the city mission, public evangelism in the city. Thus, now here's what she said, in this manner, or thus, the warning message was given by many. Now, I was thinking, I said, okay. So it was given by many. I get that, but... but what was the fruit though? Sister Ellen White, I want to know the fruit. What was the fruit of that? I know that many were giving the message in this systematic way, but what was the fruit of it? Friends, if you go to the statement before all I just read to you, this is what she states. She states, Sabbath, this was on Sabbath morning, November 10th, 1900. We entered the San Francisco church, right? And found it. Now listen to this. This was years later. Because of this work that was continually being done in San Francisco since 1876, years later, she entered this church. And because this work was continually being done, friends, I propose to you that if our churches would do this work, it was being done way before 1900. But she was there on the Sabbath morning of 1900. And this is what she says. She says, Sabbath morning, November 10th, 1900, we entered the San Francisco church and found it crowded to its utmost capacity. Do you see what was happening? As I stood before the people, I thought of the dream and the instruction which had been given me so many years ago, 1876. And I was much encouraged. Looking at the people assembled, I felt that I could indeed say, the Lord has fulfilled his word. You see that? So she was seeing this vision that God had given her of the system that should be done. And as the church was beginning to do this system that she had received in vision, by the time she had gotten there, she had visited them in 1900, the church was filled to its utmost capacity. Don't let anyone tell you, friends, that the preaching and the practical living out of the truth will result in the church being empty. Do not believe that lie. It is in our many times in our hatred for Joel Osteen's church and some of these mega churches. And I'm not saying we should have mega churches. We are told, we are forbidden to have that in the spirit of prophecy. But I tell you the truth, even if we have a simple church, friends, believe those memes and pictures that try to give off the idea. I remember I saw one of them on the top. It was Joel Osteen's church filled with thousands of people, right? And the caption was on that slide of Joel Osteen's church. It says, "This is what happens when you preach when you tell the people lies," right? And so it was making. We've probably seen those posts before, right? And then on the bottom, it had another picture, and it showed a church that was in a stadium, that was in a gym stadium, and the church, it just had like about 4 to 5 people there, probably 10 at most. And then the caption says, when you preach the truth, this is what happens. Friends, that is a lie. When God's people do the systematic work that he has called them to do, our churches will be crowded to its utmost capacity. The reason that many churches aren't filled today is because the people themselves, and many times the ministers themselves, do not know how to win souls. They don't know how to do a practical work to bring people into the fold of God. We are told in the ministry of healing that the crowds that surrounded Jesus and heard his messages and were so attracted to him, it was so much that no building in Palestine could hold those crowds. That means we're doing something wrong. God wants to save many, even though, yes, few will be saved in the very end. But I tell you, friends, there is a powerful exodus out of these Babylonian churches that are coming. That's coming. And our churches, many of them will flock to our churches, and it will be in the thousands, I propose, even in the millions. We will be shocked at how many God will bring in churches all over the world that are doing this systematic work. So what I want to leave you with today is, and this statement, I promised you I'd give you the place. It's taken from the original place. It's called the Review and Herald, July 5th, 1906. And it can also be found in the compilation, Welfare Ministry, page 112. But the reason I say this to you over these past few weeks is that God wants us to, yes, become self-reliant, have businesses of our own, have systems of our own. Many of us, he's calling us to be entrepreneurs, to start off our own businesses using our gifts and abilities with ideas that the Holy Spirit may bring to us. But friends, when you get this done, and you begin to bring in an income from this, begin to get to a point where you're living off of it, and it's becoming more and more comfortable, do not forget this system. Begin to look for the places where people are doing the systematic work, because some of you, God is going to call you to use your gifts to start off sanitariums. He's going to call you to use your gifts to start off hygienic restaurants and health food stores. And you may be able to make a living from that with the resources that will be coming in. But friends, I'm calling also those who may not be called to that specific work to remember that work. It's replication all over the nation and the world. That our churches, that God may have different avenues to reach people with the third angel's message and bring them into the fold. With that, let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that this message, I know that I went over time, Lord, but I pray that this message made sense. And that, Lord, we will do this work that you have called us to do, whether it be by our means supporting this systematic work or doing this very systematic work, starting off one or maybe even two of these things that I just mentioned. Father, help us to advance this, that we may impact our communities with the third angel's message. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for this message that we have heard tonight. And I just want to thank God for the message as we listen and support what Brother Akeem is saying, brothers and sisters. So we just want to thank him for this message. And we ask that you have... that God has blessed you to understand everything and you know, and maybe just go forth and try to work these things out as God's will allow us. So thank you once again, and may God bless, and y'all have a peaceful and a restful night. Amen. Thank you once again, Brother Akeem. You have a blessed night. Amen, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Good night.
Breathe in, breathe in, breathe in.